Well, it's great to be here today. Praise the Lord. I'll start with a quick testimony. Last week, I had developed strep throat. If you ever had that, that's like having knives in your throat. Very, very painful. Oh, my gosh, painful. And for 4 days, I couldn't swallow, eat or drink anything. Couldn't even take a sip of water. And leading up to Friday evening, I was planning to go to Brother Ema's conference. He was finally able to get back from Nigeria after 2 years because of the COVID lockdown. And I really wanted to go. And I felt so bad. I mean, I had like fever and chills a whole bit. And it's interesting because it was in my heart to have a prayer cloth. And Donna communicated with Randy, and he had the same thing on his heart. God spoke to him. Donna said that same thing was on her heart. So he drove down Friday, and Brother Ema, I don't know if he warred or prayed over what he did, but anyway, Randy dropped it off Friday night, and I slept with it. Woke up, and I could eat and drink again. Saturday morning, and I hadn't eaten or drank for 5 days, 4 to 5 days, and which, if you fast that long just to eat regular food, you'll make yourself sick. But I was healed of that as though I wasn't sick and just started eating normal. I could swallow. It's like, praise God, I can swallow. You have no idea how many times you swallow in a day until you can't swallow. But I just want to give God the glory for that. He's faithful. He's healer. Sometimes, I still need healing in some areas. It doesn't always come all at once. Sometimes people think, well, it's all or nothing. Well, it's not like that. So, continue to believe God for some other areas. But praise God, that one allowed me to function. I would have came, but Donna had tested for positive for COVID. It's mild symptoms there, and we just felt, in recognition of protocols, best not to come, not to be a stumbling block to anybody else. So Shane did an excellent job, excellent ministry of the word there. Well, we're going to have communion today before we enjoy a fellowship of picnic. And I had some interesting fresh revelation just flowing to me, because there's, I'm pretty much home most of the time, just listening to worship and preaching and scriptures being read. And if you do that, you'll hear from God in a greater way. Now, you can purpose to do that. I'm doing it because I sort of can't really do too much else at the moment. So anyway, it's fresh inspiration. I saw something that I never saw before, and I want you to go to Psalm 23. You might say, well, Psalm 23, I have that memorized backwards and forwards, and I've heard every message there is to hear. Hey, but you didn't hear this one. You might say, how do you know that? Well, I've never heard anybody preach what I'm going to share, and I certainly never have, like I'm going to share it. Let me read it first. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, this is probably one of the most memorized passages of Scripture in the Bible. There are many who would say, oh, that's their favorite. It's very much chock full of illustration, so it's very easy to relate to, especially if you've lived or grown up around any farm community at all. You would have somewhat of awareness here with this. Now, I will mention that spiritual understanding comes by comparing spiritual to spiritual, according to 1 Corinthians 2:15, and then also spiritual things to natural things. And that's why Jesus taught in parables. He taught something people understood in the natural to bring a spiritual point at, that they could see that which would be in the spirit. That being said, many times our life experience opens us up to gain revelation of something in the spirit. It's good to continue to gain life experience, especially for kids, to get exposed to as many different things with the thought in mind of how did the Creator design this? What did He intend by this? What do we learn by it? We want to develop the habit of looking at everything in life through those eyeglasses or through those lenses. And once you begin to do that, your understanding can grow exponentially. So David, as a teenager, was keeping his father's sheep. He was the youngest son. When the prophet said, bring your sons, his father Jesse didn't even call David in from the sheep. Because his father thought, well, the older ones, they would be chosen of the Lord. But God looks on the heart. He saw David's heart. And in David's times out there keeping the sheep, now he didn't just go out to the barn twice a day and throw some corn on the ground or something like that, but rather they would sleep and live among the sheep, sleep under the stars on the hillside, and lead them from pasture to pasture because there was free land grazing is how it was. It wasn't like he had fence around their property. The property wasn't owned. It was kind of just shared. And the cattle and so forth would graze. So David lived that kind of life. And in the times of solitude, God used the natural thing he was doing as a shepherd, a keeper of sheep, to bring a spiritual understanding of the kingdom of God. And he proclaims here, the Lord is my shepherd. Now Jesus said it's on this rock, the rock of Revelation, that the kingdom of God is built. Who do you say Jesus is? And the power of God is released in a spoken word of who he is. And the psalmist David is declaring, the Lord is my shepherd, just like I'm a shepherd to these sheep, to my father's sheep, the Lord is my shepherd. And when we know him as shepherd, we have all that we need. We have all that we need. Therefore, we should not be driven by need whatsoever. If we always look to him, we know he meets our need, and that's not something that drives our decisions or our actions. It also removes a lot of fear, because if we will not want for anything, well, then we do not need to fear lack. There are many who have a poverty consciousness, which is rooted in the fear of lack. You can have a lot of money and still have a poverty consciousness. And in that, you don't want to spend or give or release. You're just trying to hang on. You don't have a mind for increase. You don't have a mind for sowing. You don't have a mind for investing because you're afraid you'll lose what you have and have nothing. I remember growing up, and my grandmother lived next door to us, and she had inherited money, but she would not spend any. She wore the same clothing she had for 40 years. She would walk door to door and sell Avon. She would read her Bible by the street lamps along the street. She wouldn't use electricity or anything. And there was a poverty mentality because she grew up during the Great Depression. And some of you may have had like grandparents that were like that. And she was one like that. She would never throw food away. You know, and every now and then she had to be taken to the hospital, food poisoning. So it kind of made you nervous going to her house to eat because you didn't know, you know. And the thing, the epitome of it all was one time I was about 8 years old. It was summertime. It was real hot. It's like this. And I walked over to her house for lunch, and there was a plate of powdered donuts sitting on the concrete outside of the kitchen door outside. and it was full of ants. So I said, Grandma, what do you, you know, why do you have those donuts out there? There's ants all over. She said, I know, they got into it. I put them out there so they would, when they go away, I'll come bring them back in and eat donuts. Failing to realize the ants will get the whole colony and carry the donuts off. But that was the mindset. When you fear lack, you can have plenty, but you're afraid you won't. Now, hopefully, none of you are living under that cloud, but some of you may be. That's for you to judge yourself. But as the Lord is our shepherd, we'll not fear lack, even though around us maybe there's nothing there. We still know he will provide. Now, Jesus said, and what I want to get into is, I want to relate all these verses to the Gospel of John, because what was recorded in the Gospel of John, things that Jesus taught, all relate to Psalm 23. All the things I'm going to mention relate to Psalm 23. It's amazing. So Jesus said in John 10, I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Well, if you have life more abundantly, you have all that you need. He said, he followed that by saying, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. He called himself the good shepherd. Everything about him is good. He lays his life down for us. He's continually giving himself for our well-being. The Lord is my shepherd. I'll not want, therefore fear has no place in our life. If we recognize him in the moment, not just having head knowledge, I remember that verse. But in the moment, he's my shepherd now. I'll not want, he will be what I need him to be when I need him to be it. You know, I like to be early. I'd like for God to be early, but he's always right on time. It's like, what, Lord, when are you going to do this? Well, when it's time, that's when. And he's always on time. So while I'm early, I'm waiting for him. He's always right on time. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. This is the revelation that comes in John chapter 6 and chapter 7, where after Jesus fed the 5,000 men, which is probably twice as many women and five times more kids there, the way it typically is in international meetings, he fed them with a few loaves of bread and a few fish and did that miracle. And he proceeds to say, I am the living bread, John 6, three times he said it. I am the bread from heaven. As there was manna from heaven through the hands of Moses, I am that living bread. Then he says at verse 35, that he that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. His ministry as shepherd leads us to feed our soul, leads us to be fed the word of God. He makes us to lie down in the green pastures. He's always going to be leading you to receive the word and partake the word and lead you into the presence of God, which John chapter 7 brings out the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He talks about rivers of living water, speaking of the Holy Spirit in John 7, 37 to 39, speaking of the Holy Spirit's ministry, that if we believe on him, we'll never thirst. So those John 6 and 7 speaks to Psalm 23, verse 2. And if the Lord is our shepherd, if he is, you'll follow him. If he is, you'll come to hear him. You'll come to worship him. You'll come to be in his presence. Many times people stop following him in the moment or for the week, whatever, off doing their own thing. And they think, well, it'll be okay. But we need to realize, as your body needs nutrition every way and every day and water every day, or you're going to be sick, or you are sick. When I didn't eat or drink for 4 or 5 days, I was sick, okay? When people are not driven to hear the word and to partake the ministry of the Holy Ghost, they're sick, and they don't know it. When I was sick and my kidneys were about ready to cut out on me and I had a staph infection, I didn't realize how sick I was. till I got dialysis. My blood was purified and my mind went clear. I couldn't even think straight. A lot of people are sick spiritually, and they don't know it because they've gotten used to it. You see, these kind of things come real slow and incremental. And you get to where you don't even know you're sick. And you could be dying, and you don't even know it until the devil takes you out. Now, that can be true in the natural, and it's true in the spirit. We need to continue to come and feed on His Word and partake the ministry of the Holy Spirit and hear His voice and allow the fullness of God to flow out of us and flow through us to others. The ministry of Jesus as our shepherd, not just something you know and can recite, but it's His ministry to us. If we're truly following Him, we're going to eat of the Word. If you're not hungry, and when you're sick, you don't have any appetite. You don't have any appetite for the Word. You're sick. Can you hear me? Judge yourself. I'm not judging anyone. You judge yourself. I'm giving you the criteria to help you. Judge yourself. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Right here is John chapter 16, verse 7 through 13. Right here, verse 3. The word restore means to turn or conviction. He brings conviction in our heart. Conviction keeps you on course. It keeps you from going astray into sin, going into the world. But if your conviction gets weak, if the conviction power of God's weak, you'll begin to entertain the pleasures of this life, the lust for money, the pride of life, and you'll begin to have the word choked out by these things. Conviction power, the ministry of the Holy Ghost. The Lord as our shepherd brings conviction power. He keeps your eyes upon Him. It's interesting with our German shepherd. She's becoming a good dog for the most part. But if she sees like a rabbit, a bird, a squirrel, she can kind of lose it. And she wants to chase it down. And it's important that in that moment of time, we see that. We yell her name. Elsa, get her attention. And she'll stop in her tracks now. She'll stop. Or if she sees a stranger walk down the street, my only concern, she don't fly through the glass window. She'll begin to bark and everything else. Elsa, quiet. Elsa, quiet. That's the end of it. She hears our voice. She knows our will. She can forget our will if she's not hearing our voice. We don't have to yell and scream, whatever. Just, Elsa, quiet. Elsa, no. That's the end of it. Oh, that God's people will only be as obedient as my dog. The Lord calls our name. He knows us. He calls us by name. And it grabs our attention to where we're not going to drift off into sin or into worldliness, but rather we'll continue to follow Him. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Your life's a journey, and He needs to lead you on that path. Don't think for a minute you're going to figure your future out. Forget it. People try to plan all their future. You know why they do that? So they don't have to depend on Him. When you live by faith, you depend on Him to lead you step by step. He knows the way. He knows where you need to go. He knows where danger is. He knows where blessing is. He knows where the fresh food is. John 16, 13 said, He guides us in truth. The Holy Spirit would be sent to guide us in truth. Or in paths of righteousness. Righteousness synonymous with truth. For His name's sake. Verse 15 brings out in John 16 that the Holy Spirit's ministry would glorify Christ. And as He keeps us following Him, keeps our attention and leads us and we follow Him, we will be fruitful and bring glory to God. It's just a byproduct. It's not something you have to try in your own ability. You just follow Him and the fruit follows you. Praise God. Yay! Oh, it's in a football game. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Bible does not say you won't have trouble. The Bible does not say you won't have pressure. The Bible does not say you won't have a fight to fight. But we need to fight the good fight of faith and fight to win. And there can be death overshadowing us, but we do not need to fear as we're walking with the shepherd, because he is our protection. And the verse in John that speaks to this, John 16, verse 33, says, "These things I've spoken to you, that you might have peace in the world. You shall," not maybe, not once in a while, not if you're a bad boy, "you will have tribulation," which means tests and trials, pressures, problems. "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." When you already know you have the victory, you're not afraid of the fight. When you already know you won. We already won in Jesus. 1 John 5, I think it's verse 4, says, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." This is the victory, even our faith in him. There is a victory. Therefore, we do not need to recoil at the problems in this life, but rather, as a man or woman of faith, see them as an opportunity for the glory of God. We can have peace no matter what we go through. In fact, we no longer have our eyes on what we're going through, but what we're going to. And we live with peace. Well, back in Psalm 23. Getting any light here? Come down to verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." There's enemies around us, but we still have all that we need. Sometimes you hear people, "Oh, watch out for the devil out there." It doesn't matter how many devils are out there. They're not allowed on my turf. They're not allowed in my life, on my body, in my mind, or in my presence. Where I go, they need to flee. This is the mindset we want to have. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In John 10, 27, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known by them." He said that no one can pluck you out of my hand or out of my Father's hand. Or at speaking to this, that the enemy cannot overpower you and just run roughshod over your life. But there is a protection in him as your shepherd. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," excuse me, "all the days of my life." This reminds me in 1987, we went to Brother Arthur Burt's place there in North Wales along the Irish Sea, and his place on the hillside overlooked the sea, and quite a few from the church went along. We had meetings there with him, and we were going to go out and tour like a castle or something. We're standing outside, and Brother Arthur comes out, and he had like a little omnibus there, and Arthur standing there. And he says, "Sister, come here." He says to my wife, "Come here." And she's like from here, like about 15 feet away. She walks over. "What is it, Brother Arthur?" And he looks to the left. And he looks to the right. He says, "They're after me." Now, he was probably about 85 at the time. And you could think, is this the onset of dementia? Or is he out in the sun too long? Or... is he hallucinating? What's going on here? "They're after me. They're after me again." And he's dealing with paranoia. He says, "Who's after?" She says, "Who's after you, Brother Arthur?" He says, goodness and mercy. They're following me. They're pursuing me. Goodness and mercy are after me. They're going to get me. You know, if we'll walk with the Lord, His goodness and mercy are going to get a hold of you.
Yes.
Yeah, God likes to bless you when you least expect it, in ways you don't expect. Don't try to tell Him how He needs to bless you. As a father, there were times I would do things for my sons to reward obedience, but there were times I would do things when they weren't doing anything just so they knew I loved them. In other words, it wasn't because they were good, and it wasn't, you know, for any other reason, but just so they know I loved them. And that's this in operation. God will bless you above what you can ask or think just to show His love to you. Now, as you obey Him, there will be blessing from the covenant. Expect that. But expect more than that. And don't try to tell Him what He should get for you as a birthday gift. So let Him come up with God's creative. He can come up. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. Many times we think we know what we need, but we really need something else. And He knows. And He can bring what you need into your life. Oh, His goodness, His mercy. It's going to follow or pursue you. It's going to overtake you. As I say that, I think of being down at the beach, and you kind of wander out, and waves are coming in, and you turn your back, and you're looking at the shore, and a wave, a big one comes in, you didn't see it coming, just knocks you down. Whew. That's what I think of with this. He'll just knock you over with His goodness. His goodness can come where it's overwhelming to you. He's so good you couldn't even imagine it before. Ephesians 3:20 says He can do above what we ask or think. So why are we trying to tell Him what all we ought to do? Let's believe for the unexpected. Believe for abundant blessing. As I share that, I like to tell the story now of 2 years ago. I believe it was 2 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago. It was right when we were going to be starting the Armada Landmark, and I'd be teaching every day and going to meetings all day. And I came to realize there was this big branch on this willow cherry tree in front of my house that it was not a willow branch, and it was been there for a while, but I didn't really realize it. It was pretty big. And I heard then that they'll actually kill off the tree, and when they are propagating these willow cherries, they'll grow them in the roots of a real cherry tree. So I knew I needed to trim that down. I'm standing there looking. I said, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the tools to take this down. That night, a thunderstorm rolled up the hill. A bolt of lightning hit that branch, sawed it off better than I could have with a chainsaw. I mean, just sheared that right off. Laid that big old branch down in the yard perfectly. It didn't fall in the house, didn't fall on our cars. Perfectly laid out. And there it was. The next morning, a neighbor who we weren't close to or anything, he texts my wife and says, I'll come and remove that branch off your lawn and cut it up and remove it for you. This is all taken care of, above what I could ask or think. Now, I could have called some landscape company and paid $2,000 or whatever it cost to have them do that. But God, He did better than that. It all was taken care of by Him supernaturally. Now, the odds of a bolt of lightning hitting that branch that night were about 1 in a trillion. It wasn't like it was dumb luck or anything. It was God. God can do those things. And I didn't ask Him for it. I didn't tell Him to do it. I just, the Lord, this needs to be done. He can do above what I ask or think. He can do above what you ask or think. Now, we all have needs. We live in a constant state of need. As you're walking in the covenant, believe God to meet the needs, but expect God just to do stuff. And celebrate the small things as well as the big things. Celebrate the small things. There's so many things. We could miss God's blessing and just somebody's at the right place, the right time, and they help you. It's like, praise God. That's his goodness, his mercy. He says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's John 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bear fruit. You see, it's in the abiding, in his ministry of our as our shepherd. It's in living that life, not just knowing about it. Knowing about the Lord's not enough. It's living with him, living the life, dwelling with him. Fear will have no place, provision shall be abundant, and most importantly, you partake eternal life by the word and the spirit. But that's a responsibility we have. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will fear no evil. I shall not want. I'm not going to lust for other things because I'm looking to him. See, I have my part. He has his part. The Lord's faithful to do his part. And as I'm faithful to do my part, it's real simple. Just dwell with him, be in faith, looking to him, and just abide in his peace. Trust in him. I mean, how simple, how much more, it's too simple for our mind. Well, it's got to be harder than that. You just do it, like the old Nike commercial. Just do it. Nike's a Greek word, he that overcomes. Overcomers do. We are overcomers, so we can do. Don't say you can't do it. You can do it. Amen. Believe the word. You're a Nike. We had a Dalmatian, called him Nike. I don't know if that was a good word for a dog, because he thought he could overcome everything. But you are an overcomer, hallelujah, because the Lord is your shepherd. He's overcome the world. He lives in you. He's leading and guiding you. There is a victory in him, and we want to abide in that. So right now, we want to partake communion and acknowledge the Lord as our shepherd. He provided the fullness of his ministry by his body and his blood. So as we partake the bread and the cup, we are doing so in faith. It is symbolic of what he has done. And we release faith based on that symbolism. And we want to receive to ourselves the fullness of his ministry. The fullness of his ministry. Hallelujah.